God bless you, saints. I'd like to give a little testimony first. I should have given it yesterday, but we came a little bit late. It was at the beginning of this year. We had a serious problem with my wife, with the immigration here. Because when they granted us 2 years ago our residency, it was stated in the authorization that if they discover something that we didn't disclose, that may compromise our, you know, their decision that they didn't take into account when they are taking the decision, they would revoke our residency. So when we came in 2007 to claim asylum, you know, people who have claimed asylum, they know things have been shown in a way that fits to their framework here. So you need to accommodate your story so that it could fit with the way they want things to be presented here. So they asked that time if we had traveled to Europe before or if we have applied for a visa or something. We didn't mention it because it would compromise our possibility of getting accepted. So they gave us our leave to remain and everything went perfect. But in January this year, we got a letter from the office and they traced back before that, myself and my family, we traveled a couple of times in Europe and we had obtained the visas and something like that. So they retraced everything and they found all our moves in Europe and they sent us the letter that you didn't mention to us when you came, but we found out that you have been here and there and this and that. And they sent all the evidences and the visa and everything. So there was no way to deny it again. Since they stated that they would revoke our residency, so we're very, very afraid. And we just said we should pray to the Lord. And we have learned something through our walk with God that we should keep still and expect to the Lord. And many times when situations like this happen, we just keep quiet. Most of the time we don't tell anyone. We just, look up upon the Lord and pray. We have seen the Lord doing many things in the same way in the past. We are confident. We knew that something will happen. So we called our lawyer and we told him the situation. He just told us that we should tell them all the truths because we don't know what they've got. So if we hide something and they discover after that there's still something we are hiding, so it might compromise our... So we wrote letters and we related everything, and we apologized for that. And so we're expecting any time to be told that we should leave. So we waited. And a few weeks later, they sent us a letter to say it's okay. We just wanted to know who you are exactly. And it's just for justice and for, they called it natural truth or something like that. So we just, they say it's okay. We keep it in the record, but we won't talk about it anymore. It's closed. So we thank God for that. So I'm going to sing the song I sang yesterday. Yeah, you know, personally, I told people yesterday, I don't trust myself. I don't think I'm, you know, especially when I listen myself back, I just hear someone making a lot of noise. But solo la nayo yo Yesu yo mwana nzambe na sepeli le loko kutana nayo yo Yesu yo mwana nzambe ngana ye maina miso na mikumba nanga yo salisanga ngana ye maina miso Namiku mananga yo limbisanga Nase pelile loko kutana na yo, yo Yesu, yo mwana nzambe. Nase pelile loko solola na yo, yo Yesu, yo mwana nzambe. Nganaye, nganaye, nganaye maina miso, namikumba nangayo limbisanga. Nganaye, nganaye, nganaye maina miso, namikumba nangayo limbisanga. Alleluia, alleluia, yembo na Yahweh, alleluia, Jerusalema. Alleluia, yembo na Yahweh, alleluia, Jerusalem. Alleluia, kembo na Yahweh. Alleluia, Jerusalem. Oninga kolo Yesu akoti na motema na ngai. Tango na tanga kimokanda oyo ya Biblia na kati ya solo pe na molimo biso banso toyembela ye moninga kolo Yesu akoti na motema na ngai. Tango na tanga kimokanda oyo ya Biblia na kati ya solo pe na molimo biso banso toyembela ye. Alleluia, alleluia, kembo na Yahweh. Alleluia, Jerusalem. Alleluia, kembo na Yahweh. Alleluia, Jerusalem. Alleluia, kembo na Yahweh. Alleluia, Jerusalem. Bakanga ki Yesu pote alonga ki, banyokola ki ye pote aloba ki. Bakanga ki Yesu pote alonga ki, banyokola ki ye pote aloba ki. Yende mwana na nzambe, yende nzambe na bomo. Alleluia, alleluia, kembo na Yahweh. Alleluia, Jerusalem, alleluia. Kembo na Yahweh, alleluia. Jerusalem, alleluia, alleluia. Kembo na Yahweh, alleluia. Jerusalem, alleluia, alleluia. Kembo na Yahweh.
Brother Eli is good. Amen. He promised he'll join us. Amen. But I'm sure he's waiting for things to patch up our side. Amen. When we in the spirit, he'll come and join us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. They come from the east and the west. Amen. Because we come from all parts of the world. Amen. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands above.
Partakers of his grace and his power. bow our heads, we just want to put a prayer request here. Brother Max has put, he's got a bad headache. So let's pray about that straight away so that the brother can be together with us in the service. Let's unite ourselves together. Let's just stand against this which would be coming upon our bread. Father, we come in your precious name. Father, we come with the confidence, Lord, that you are the same, that you change not. Father, we come, Lord, based upon, Father, your commission as your people. Father, an everlasting commission that you've given unto us, Lord. We come on the basis, Lord, of the authority of a covenant, Lord. An eternal covenant, Lord, that cannot be broken, Lord. We come, Lord, at your command, Lord. Father, you said, go ye therefore. And Father, you said that sickness would flee in the name of Jesus. Father, there's nothing that can withstand. Father, we know even the prophet says that the devil trembles when the weakest saint gets on his knees. So how much more when the sons of daughters of God, Lord, would, Father, unite themselves together, Lord, against a common enemy. Father, we're thinking of Abraham upon this day, and we're thinking, Lord, when he went to Dan and he recovered his brother's goods. Father, we're just coming, Lord, before you upon this day. And Father, now we direct, Lord, our faith and our prayer against, Lord, this that would come upon our brother, Lord. And even as Brother Francois testified, Lord, we refuse this situation upon this day. Father, we say no, Lord, to the workings of the enemy, Lord. Father, he has no place in this house upon this day. Father, he has no place to gather where your children gather, Lord. Father, he's not welcome in this place. So, Lord, we send your word forth in your precious name. You said that you sent your word and you healed your people. And we thank you, Lord, for the sure promises of your word. May you bless our brother, Lord, at this time, Lord. Bless him, Lord, from the sole of his feet right to the top of his head, we'd ask and pray. Restore him and renew him, Father. And Lord, may he rejoice in thee is our desire. Thank you for the testimony, Lord, that we heard upon this day. Father, from Brother Eli, thank you for Brother Francois, the testimony, Lord. Father, you are mindful of your people, Lord. Father, you care for us. And how, Father, we're glad about that, Lord. And even as the prophet preached, Father, he cares for you. Do you care? Father, we do care upon this day. And that's why we've come in your house together in your precious name. Be glorified in our gathering as our desire, Lord. Father, feel at home in our midst, Lord, as our desire, because we feel so at home, Father, in your presence and in fellowship with you. And Father, we've come from the east and we've come from the west. We've come from the north and the south. Father, we've been gathered together, Lord, to feast as your guests upon this day. So won't you lead us and guide us, Lord, according to your perfect will. Father, help each and every one of us, right from the preacher, right down to every person that's here, Lord, just to tune into that place, to that dimension, Lord, to that spiritual frequency, Lord, upon this day, that, Lord, you may speak unto us the things that we need, the things that you desire for us to hear. Father, we'd be careful to give you the praise. And Father, we just want to get ourselves out the way at this time, submit ourselves to thee. Thank you for song worship, Lord. Thank you for your people who gathered, Lord, yesterday. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for all the things that you're doing in the lives of your people. And Father, just lead us and guide us, Lord. Just higher is our desire. And deeper, Lord, is our petition. And Father, just bind us together closer is our aim and our objective, Lord, that you may be glorified in a deeper way in the midst of your people. Gather with your people, gathering in like manner upon this day. Father, from the north to the south and the east and the west, Lord, you are the portion of your people. Father, you said to Abraham that you were his inheritance. You are his satisfying portion. Father, you are inheritance upon this day. Bless the saints in Vilnius. Father, we thank you for the time last weekend that you gave unto us. Father, bless them there, Lord. Bless Brother Vitaly. Continue to use him for your glory. All the saints that are there, Brother Pavel and the saints, Lord, how we appreciate, Lord, fellowship divine. Lord, what a wonderful thing that it is. Now, Father, be with us this day. We're looking unto thee. Father, our hope and our expectation is in you. Be glorified. We ask and pray. Bless your word unto us this day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Saints, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We do greet you this morning in Jesus' name. We just want to greet Gudrus and Sister Simona, who's back with us once again. We haven't seen them for a few weeks. We do greet them in Jesus' name. Just one announcement as well. Youth meeting next Saturday at 1 p.m. So if you'd like to see Brother Wilmore about final arrangements for that. That's youth meeting next Saturday at 1 p.m. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. This is Paul, what he was saying. He says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So there's a family in heaven and earth. And it's one of these families that, it's an unusual sort of family. It can be in two places at the same time. You can have the family in heaven is also gathering on earth. And that's what's gathering this day. Let's also read Revelation chapter 10. A good familiar scripture. Revelation 10, we'll read from verse 1. I've been asked to go slowly. It's not easy when you get nervous and you got the word to go slowly. So I really do desire the Lord to help me. Revelation 10, let's read the first 7 verses. Just so we know it well, but we want to take it from another sort of an angle. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed in a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth and lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Amen. Saints, may you may be seated. May the Lord bless his word. I'm just trying to really get to answering a question here, which was a very good question Sister Faith had asked a couple of weeks back. I don't know if we'll really get to the answer of that question today, because we've got to do a little bit of a background into it. And you know how it is when you read the Bible, when you read the message, you'll start off on a certain thought, you're trying to find something out, and then it opens up into something else. And so maybe just the best thing to do is just to go in that way. But the question she asked, which was a real good one, is when it says in verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And she was asking, what did that mean? Setting his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. So that's the question we'd like to get to. And I said it to her when we were chatting. I said, now there's certain questions you've heard different people preach about, but you've never taken the time yourself to go and try to find out for yourself. You know, and so when I started to look into this particular question, just one thing led to another, and then Brother Vitali came, and to me it was all just a continuation of a similar theme inside of my own thoughts. I'm sure you like that. You don't like to jump here, there, and everywhere. You know, you may read this, read that, got different chapters in the Bible, got a different messages you listen to, but generally speaking, at any one time, the Lord's trying to deal with you down a certain line. And you'll find if you've got any leadership of the Holy Ghost in what you're doing, that there's going to be something that he's trying to teach you. And to me, I really saw it as a very important principle. Just personally, I'd spoken to some saints about it, that the Lord is really dealing with me with over the last few months. And just wanted to tie it in a little bit today, because it brought me into this thought. And the thought, it's something we haven't spoken of for quite some time here, which is on theophanies, you know, on our theophanies. Because the question comes up in Revelation 10 verse 1 is, who is this? You know, to a person who doesn't know the message, was new in the message, he's going to ask, but you know, what does this represent, this mighty angel, this covenant angel with the rainbow above his head, and he's got the open book in his hand? Who is this? Is this Christ coming at the rapture? What is this? You know, and obviously you've got to get into the message to get a spiritual understanding of what this particular event is and what it signifies, because we know this isn't the physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God himself, Christ, coming in his theophany. That's what he's coming down with, an open book to the 7th angel. This isn't the Christ coming in glory to catch his saints away, because as we continue reading a little bit further on, this isn't Christ coming to set up his kingdom on earth, because the next chapter is when he's going to go to Israel, and he's going to go and minister through the two witnesses, and Israel's going to be saved. So we know this is a spiritual event that takes place. Yes. And it's a real important climactic event. Because whenever you see God coming in this kind of a form, We know that God is a spirit. God, right from the beginning, he's invisible, the Bible says. He's immortal. He's unchangeable in all of his ways. The prophet explains that God was the great fountain. He was the great fountain of love, the great fountain of righteousness, right from the beginning. But God in that essence and that form, we can't understand him. But God wants to be understood. God wants to relate to us, and he wants us to be able to relate to him. So God, right from the beginning, when he had this great thought in his mind, this great program of redemption, he determined inside of himself that he would unfold himself, that he would bring himself down into a form that each of us can relate to. Now the prophet says, even when God came to Abraham in Genesis 18, he says God could have just come in a vision, or God could have spoken just an audible voice. But God says, maybe Abraham won't get it if I come in that form. So let me go down in flesh. Amen. You know, so there's always a reason why God reveals himself to you in a certain way. He could have spoken in a dream. He could have spoken in a vision. He could have chosen any method that he desires to choose. But God chose to come to Abraham right at the end, before Sodom was destroyed. God decided to come in the form of a man. Now God came down to eat and to drink with Abraham, and to fellowship with Abraham in a real close and an intimate sort of a way. So there would be just a real fellowship between them. And don't you love it when God becomes personal like that? Now I hate it when, to me, the Lord is far away and is mystical to me. You know, then you know you're out of the Spirit. But when you're in the Spirit, you can relate to him and he can relate to you. And you know that he understands you and he cares for you and he knows where you are. And no, he has a personal interest in you. And that's really what makes life worth living. So God came to Abraham in that kind of a form. And you find God coming in these various forms at the certain junctions of different dispensations in time. And when God comes in the form of the angel of the Lord, or God comes as a theophany. I'll read just now what the prophet says to make it a bit clearer. But these are always very important junctures in time. God never came in this kind of a form through the seven church ages. He started the church ages like that. When he came clothed in the great light, and he came as, you know, I am Jesus to Paul, who you persecute. And he spoke not in his physical body, but this was Jesus before he was made flesh. Amen. This was the form that Jesus was in before he became the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. But that's how the church ages began, and God sent a prophet messenger, Paul, a special vessel, because it was an Exodus time. It was God's time now to bring the church out of the nation of Israel. You know, God had done different things. He took a nation out of a nation in the first Exodus with Moses. And God came down in the same manner then. He came down as a man, the form of a man. And Moses saw the back part of a man. And he came as the angel of the Lord. I send my angel before you. You know, and Moses could see the form, the image of a man. And God would deal with Moses in this kind of a way. And then he'd unfold himself in a cloud and appear as a cloud. And enfold himself in fire and come down as the pillar of fire. But from that pillar of fire, God himself would step forth in the form of a man. And that's a real powerful thought, because I don't think there's many people that understand that in this age, that God represents himself as a man. Amen. God has so tied himself together with us, Amen. His people and his body, that the prophet says God does nothing outside of man, Amen. Down the line of redemption. And that's why God can sometimes choose to speak to you in the still small voice. He can sometimes speak to you in the thunder. He can sometimes speak to you in the lightning. Sometimes speak to you in the great strong wind. God has different ways in his body of speaking to you. And I think he knows the best way to speak to you at different times. And that's why even the vessel that he comes to you in, the form that he assumes, and the way that he reveals himself is important at certain times. And I think we don't need to keep just one image in our mind of how God must deal with us or how God must relate to us, because right through the Bible, God dealt in many different ways. He came to Job in a whirlwind. He came to the prophet in our day in a whirlwind. And the brethren saw the whirlwind come and cut out the top of the mountain and cut off the top of the trees. And God spoke three times in the blast of thunder, judgment striking the west coast. And then Alaska almost sunk a couple of days after that in 1964, Good Friday earthquake, one of the biggest in the world. But that was one way that God would speak to the prophet. There's other ways that God would speak. God came down in flesh and spoke to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered unto us the perfection of his word, the gospels, through the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a man. So he has these different ways of revealing himself, yet he's the same God. His essence doesn't change. He's immutable and he's unchangeable in all of his ways. But when you find God coming down as Revelations 10:1 in this kind of a form, it's an important time. It's an Exodus time. There's certain seasons that God will trust nobody else. God will come down himself in this form because he wants to make sure in these critical junctures that he's going to shepherd his people safely home. There's going to come times where Satan builds up his kingdom as it was in the days of Lot and so forth, when wickedness is upon the face of the earth, as it was in the days of Noah, when the thoughts of men's hearts were continually evil and the whole earth was full of wickedness and violence. God came down himself to his people. And that's the grace of God to us in this age. But friends, when you see God assuming this kind of a visitation, God coming down in a theophany, a visible representation of who he is, God coming down as the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant, be careful. It shows that it's a kind of day you need that kind of visitation. And the Lord said in the first Exodus, beware of him. I send my angel before you, but beware of him because my name is in him. He will not pardon your transgressions. So you've got to be careful how you handle that kind of a visitation. Because to speak against that visitation of God, there's no forgiveness for those kind of things. It's those kind of junctures where you've got to have respects the way the prophet preached it. More than even at other times. Though we have to respect one another. But I mean, if you speak against me, may I speak against you, we'll make it right. But he says, be careful at this junction. I'm sending my angel before you. My Exodus angel, my covenant angel. I'll put my name in him. There's going to be a certain manifestation in him. Pay heed. Take heed to him. Because if you don't respect him, you're not going to make the promised land. Amen. And God had a promised land in view at that time. And this manifestation came to bring his people from a certain place and to bring them to a certain place. And it's strange how God works, but he never changes his ways. At the first Exodus, when he wanted to bring his people out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land, God came as the covenant angel, but he said that's not enough. He sent his Exodus prophet. Amen. So there came a prophet on the scene, Moses, commissioned by God in that form. Amen. And God in that form of a theophany, a visible representation of God, would accompany his Exodus Amen. Prophet. And there was one aim that God had in that, was to bring his people, was to gather his family together from the north, south, east, and west of Egypt, to gather them in a certain place, to reveal himself to them, and then to bring them safely home, right in the midst of that kind of a time. And the same as with Paul. When God sent Paul, here came the covenant angel down, and here came the prophet messenger Paul, and he came to call out the people out of Judaism, out of all those things. And that was the birth of the New Testament church. That was our origin back there. But the one who's the Alpha is also the Omega. So the way he's came at the beginning of the church ages, he's going to come at the end of the church ages as well. So we don't just get a church age messenger, a reformer, a great man. We have Wesley, Luther, great men. But God sends us a prophet messenger at the end. But not only a prophet messenger, because that wasn't enough. God himself comes down in a theophany. God comes down as the covenant angel at the end. The great shepherd of the sheep himself. He's going to come to gather his family together. The family from heaven is going to be gathered on earth. And he's going to take us to the place that Jesus said, I prepare a place for you. And when the place is ready, I myself am going to come down. And I'm going to receive you to myself. I'm going to take you to that place. So we're living in that kind of a junction now. And that's what Revelation 10 is speaking to us of. It's speaking of a visitation when God himself comes down in this form, which he chooses to come down at certain very selective times in the scripture. The prophet speaks of it In the message, we would see Jesus in 1957. He says, in the beginning, God was a spirit. And all the fountain of goodness and mercy and power. And all the good things of love. God was the center of that fountain. So that's who God really is. God is a spirit. It says, and then the Logos went out of God in the beginning. So God started to bring himself down in a visible form. And something came out of this great invisible fountain of God. And God formed himself a body. A word body. This wasn't a body of flesh and blood. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This was a body made. It's a spoken word body. God made himself a body. It's a word body. A representation. The prophet says, God is not just like the air. But he's a body. And that's a powerful thought, friends. God has a throne. God dwells in a certain place. Although God knows all things, God, he's everywhere because he knows all things. But the real essence of who God is in a certain place. And where that place is, there's the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah now is the symbol. The prophet says it's the sign of the fullness of God being present. When you see the pillar of fire, you know the fullness of the Godhead is present. So it's a serious junction when God comes down like that. So the prophet says, and there was the theophany. So this Logos, God speaks and forms himself a body, forms himself in the image of a man. Maybe you need to turn it around. God makes man in that image. God didn't make himself in the image of a man. God made man in the image of himself. So God forms himself in this image of a man, a word body. And from there now he starts to speak and he creates the heavens and the earth. Creates the angelic beings. And then he comes to the climax of his creation. And he says, let us make man in our own image. So the real image of man who has eternal life isn't this image. This isn't the image of God. This is the image of mammals and beasts and so forth. We're very close to the monkey. That's why science gets confused. But the real image of the sons and daughters of God is a spiritual image. We are made in the image of God. So right in the beginning, God created man in his image. Now, you were created in his image then. But you don't know anything about it. Because you thus far have never been back in that image. But God right in the beginning, when he formed Adam, how did he form Adam? Did he form him of the dust of the earth first? No. He formed man in his image. And then he took that image and he put it into the dust. And then Adam now was the ruler of the earth. We know that. So first, Adam bore the image of the heavenly, like Paul says. And then he bore the image of the earthly. So God formed in his own image. And God had formed himself into the representation of a man. And then God formed you and me and everyone. And he formed us in his image. That was your theophany. That was your eternal body. Let's read a scripture there for the people that don't know the scriptures on those. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter. When Paul is speaking of the secret of this. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 40. He speaks of the different bodies. He says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So we see there's different types of bodies. And Paul speaks as well and he says, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting for us eternal in the heavens. You know, so when I look at you and you look at me, we're not looking at really who we are. We're looking at a reflection from a heavenly place. The real you is in another dimension, very near to you now. And you are a reflection of what God made you in that dimension there. To those people that are predestinated, every single predestinated person, you have a theophany. You have a heavenly tabernacle waiting for you in the heavens, eternal in the heavens. And just at your last breath, that soul that's inside of you that came from God, that gene of life that's inside of you, goes straight into that body. Amen. And there's a prophet lying on his bed that day, 1960, and he's wondering, I wonder what it's like beyond the curtain of time. You know, I'd hate to die because I think when you get up there, we'll be like a cloud or like a mist or something like that. And Brother Neville will go by like a cloud. And, you know, I'll say, God bless you, Brother Neville. And he'll say, God bless you. But I can't shake his hand because his hand is in the grave. His body's gone back to dust. That's how the prophet understood it until 1960. He thought that when we go, just the soul, the life that's in you, would go now to a certain place and wait for the resurrection morning. And then that soul of yours would now come back and get dust and get a body once again. And then that day when he was lying on his bed, just wondering and thinking, there came a voice from the supernatural place. There came a voice from that dimension that was right next to this dimension and said, just keep pressing on. And he said, who said that? And said, just keep pressing on. If you only knew what was at the end of the journey. And then the voice said to him, would you like to see beyond the curtain of time? Would you like to just step from this realm and see what's happening in the parallel dimension to this dimension? And he said, it would help me so much. And then all of a sudden he found himself caught up in a certain place. He said, it was just a few feet away. He says, and there I was lying on my bed. And then he found himself in a body. And he looked and he felt first, he says, I felt, and I had hair on my head. He had lost his hair, but the first thing that he noticed was his hair was back. Because Jesus says, not one hair of your head will perish. It will all be waiting for you there. Just showing that this is just but a shadow here of something real that's there, something that's waiting for you. And the prophet then, he looks around and he says, I bit my finger. He says, this is real. I've got a body here. He says, but it's not a body that can get tired. It's not a body that can get sick. It's not a body that can feel fatigue or get up in the morning and say, but I don't feel like going to work today. Friends, there's nothing like that in that dimension. But he was in that dimension and his body was in this dimension. And he had stepped into his theophany now. And he had just crossed this boundary between mortal and immortality. And he stepped into it. And it was a real place. And there was activity going on there. And there were people there. And he heard this great cry of all these voices. And he looks and he sees all these women coming running to meet him. In white robes. And he says their hair was right down to their waist. Showing that the representation of people there that don't cut their hair as women. And if we represent it there, and that dimension is ministering to us to bring us back into that dimension, you know, that's going to be saying to us, don't cut your hair. And the women, they were dressed like women. They weren't dressed with tight garments and all that kind of stuff. Showing that if you've got a representation there, if that's the place that you've been called back to, the deep in you has been called back to that place. That place is trying to minister you back into the right condition. It's trying to put that influence upon you to bring you back into that heavenly image that God spoke of you before the foundation of the world. And that's how you can tell people whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to hear from your theophany. That theophany, like the prophets, is going to speak to you. It's going to say, just keep pressing on. When you're slacking, when your hands are going down, there's going to be something happening in that invisible realm which is going to be persuading you. Because you've got to come back somewhere. You've been called back somewhere. You didn't begin here. This began before the foundations of the world. So God is trying to call you back. But if you don't have that representation, then not everybody does. It's only the elect. You have that representation waiting in the heavenlies there. But if you don't have that representation, no matter how much the light strikes your path, no matter how much people try to warn you and persuade you, you'll just continue doing what you do. Because there's nothing in you. There's nothing there representing you here. There's nothing there which can communicate with you here to call you back up to that higher dimension. But if you've got a representation there, there's a deep that's inside of you. There's a deep inside of you and it's never going to rest in this dimension until you've got yourself in harmony and tune with that dimension there. And friends, there's no unbelief in that dimension. There's no unbelievers and believers in that dimension. There's just believers that are there. In that dimension, it's the heavenly family that's been gathered. And when we gather here today, this is a visible representation of what's taking place on the other side. Because the heavenly family is gathering there, and the earthly family is gathering here. And friends, something will take place. If you get yourselves back in line the way that it is there, something's going to take place. And the prophet, he sees all of these women in the perfection of youth coming. And he says, and their eyes were like stars. And they were just so perfect the way that they were, wearing these robes right down to their ankles. And they came and they embraced him. And the prophet says, I never would have accepted that on earth. To allow a woman to come and embrace me who's not my wife. Because there's a human sensation there. Because there's the genes, the mammal genes inside of us that respond in that kind of a way. But he says, but when those sisters came and embraced me and said, oh, our precious brother. He says, there was nothing there. He says, there was no reaction there because the sons of the resurrection, neither marry nor given in marriage. Jesus says, they are like unto the angels. They're not angels, but it's a word body. Just as much as an angel has a word body, doesn't have a body of flesh and clay. Your theophany has a word body. And the prophet could look and say, this is a substance. This is a kingdom of substance. This is a realm of substance. There's people already gathered here. There's a gathering there, friends. And who were the people that were gathered there? The prophet, he sees all these people coming and he wonders who they are. And then all these young men come now in the prime of youth. And he says there were millions of them. And he says, when he was standing there in that perfection, he says, who are these? And the voice says, don't you know who they are? And he says, I don't know who all of these people are. He says, they're your people. Amen. They're your people. Amen. This is where you'll be gathered with your people. Amen. And he says, but there's not that many Branhams on earth. He says, no, it's not that kind of a family that we're talking about. That's the family of the first Adam. That's the family of the earthly that you were born in. But this is the real family that you belong to. This is the heavenly family. And he says, they're your converts. And he says, but there's millions of them. And then he sees the one sister rejoicing so glad, saying, if you hadn't have gone, we wouldn't have been here. And the prophet says, the angel says, can you see that sister there rejoicing? You know why she's rejoicing? Because she was past 90 when you led her to Christ. And here she can never get old. Again, and that's why she was rejoicing in that kind of a way. And the prophet looked and says, what is this? And then something came and picked him up and put him a little bit higher. And he says, what are you doing? And he says, you are a leader on earth. He says, haven't you read in the Bible where it says the prophets were gathered to their people? Amen. Can you see what it's like beyond the curtain there, friends? You don't just gather yourself. You've got to be gathered with your people. There's a certain people that you are predestinated to be gathered with. Amen. There's a certain family that God ordained you to be a part of before the foundation of the world. And friends, if you are moving into the image of your theophany once again, if you're moving into harmony with God's great program for your life, you're going to find your place in the family. There's no lone rangers beyond the curtain of time. There's no people that have no representation in a spiritual family beyond the curtain of time. There's something wrong spiritually with those kinds of people. You find those believers who never feel at home, no matter where they go. I would worry about that. If that was my condition, that no matter where I go, I can't find a place to feel at home with the believers. What about my theophany? Where's my theophany there? Is it off on its own in the mountains? Is it off on its own down there in the valleys? It's not. The prophet says, this is where you gather to your people. And I believe that, friends. I believe there's a heavenly family. And we are just but a reflection of that heavenly family down here on earth. And that's why when you meet a brother, you meet a sister. It doesn't matter the language they speak. Doesn't matter where they come from, which country, what color they are, how they dress. They may dress with African dress. They may dress Chinese dress. But you have sufficient time to fellowship with them. There's going to be a oneness between you and them. Because your soul comes from the same place. Because you've got a heavenly representation in the same place. Your theophany and their theophany is gathered under the same message beyond the curtain of time. Gathered with the family that's there. And the prophet says, this is what it was like in the Old Testament when the prophets were gathered with their people. And that's why I wonder about the people in this age who reject the prophet. Because beyond the curtain of time, it's the people that have gathered with the prophets. There's going to be Wesley, the messenger to his age, he's gathered with his people. There's Luther gathered with his people. There's Paul gathered with his people. Irenaeus gathered with his people. What about the charismatics today? What about the Baptists and the Methodists and so forth? Who are they going to gather under? That's a serious thought to think about, friends. Because beyond the curtain of time, you gather under the messenger of the age. The messenger is sent. God accompanies that messenger. The prophet says, it's roll call time. God sends the messenger to gather the family together. To gather the family from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. All of the children of God. We sing it. Gathered by the shout. The message goes forth to gather the family together. To bring us all under the same headship in this age. And that's why, friends, I don't ever want to have a representation on earth that I'm always fighting against other message groups. That I don't believe they're the message and we're the message and so forth. That's not how it is beyond the curtain of time. It's not like that there. There's just one family that's there, gathered under one prophet that's there. Surely, if we're moving in harmony and tune with the heavenly dimension, it should be reflected down here. We may gather in different locations, but friends, there's something wrong when we can't agree with one another. When you can't put up with one another. When you can't meet with other saints in the message. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. We haven't moved into the right harmony yet spiritually as it is beyond the curtain of time. But as the word, as Brother Vitaly was saying, as the breath continues to prophesy over us, it brings us more and more into that image. And we're more and more able to fulfill what's required of us from across that dimension. Which we can't see now. But the prophet says you can feel the effects of that dimension here. You can feel it inside of your soul. There's something that's drawing you. So the prophet speaks of God in that kind of a form. And he says the theophany was God made into the word. So that was the form that he came in. And then he speaks about Melchizedek. And he says that's the mystery of this great Melchizedek. Let's read from the Bible here and see in Hebrews chapter 7. Where Brother Ami gets this from. Because Revelation 10 verse 1 is Melchizedek. It's the same one who came to Abraham. It's the same one who comes to the seed of Abraham. Exactly what happened to Abraham happens to his seed after him. That was the days of Sodom, days of Lot. We're living in the days of Lot as well. There was Abraham, Branham. We have exact the same things. And Melchizedek came down to Abraham. And Melchizedek came down to Branham. And they came the bread and the wine and the body change and all those things we know. So, Hebrews 7 verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. So Abraham met a man. He met a priest. But it was God. Amen. Coming in the form of a man. And God was coming as Melchizedek, the king and the priest. He was coming as... Imagine meeting him in that kind of a way. You know, God so much wanted to associate himself with Abraham that when he saw Abraham coming back from redeeming, delivering his fallen brother, God said, let me go down and meet him on the way. And God came down to Abraham. Melchizedek came with bread and wine. And Paul understood this mystery. Why did Paul understand this mystery? Because Paul had been in the third heaven. Paul had been caught up beyond the curtain of time. But he wasn't commissioned to write those things down. It wasn't his commission. He says, I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, who, whether in this body or out of the body, it's not clear. He says, but he was caught up into the third heaven. And he saw things that it's not lawful for a man to utter. It wasn't time for those things yet. Because in the days of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God should be finished. Seal these things up until the time of the end, when they need them, and then they're going to get unfolded at the end. But Paul saw in that dimension. He went and found himself like the prophet in a theophany body in the third heaven. And he must have seen his people gathered there as well, and whatever was spoken unto him in that dimension. And that's when he caught the revelation, and he came down and he says, I understand about theophanies. Understand there's a tabernacle waiting for us in heaven. Not made with the hands of men. Not born of the desire of your father and your mother. But it's an eternal, incorruptible, unchangeable inheritance waiting for us in the heavens. He knew that. Verse 2, he says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now that's one of the attributes, friends, that when you meet this great theophany of God, you're going to want to contribute something back. Now, when you find people can just come and sit and play no part in the kingdom of God whatsoever, I always worry about that. You know, because you find a genuine believer when you meet Christ in this age, when he reveals himself to you, it should bring something to life. Because there's life beyond the veil that represents you. You have your place, you have your position, you have whatever your calling is in Christ. And when you meet Melchizedek yourself, when he reveals himself to you through the message of the hour, something should start to kick in. Amen. There's a life that should want to start to express itself. Because you realize who he is. You realize where you came from. Amen. You start to realize your destiny and your purpose in this earth. That you're not just born to go and do your security work or go and study in the college or do your IT work. That's not what you're really born for. Those are just things to keep you going in this life. But there's a real purpose that you're born for. Amen. There's a heavenly pattern there that you're supposed to fulfill here. Amen. There's something that you're supposed to achieve here. And God put it inside of you in seed form. And the moment now you meet Melchizedek yourself, and he starts breaking to you the bread and feeding you with the wine, something should start to come to life. And Abraham, the first thing that he does, he wants to pay his tithes. He wants to give something back to the priesthood, to Melchizedek, because he realizes that he belongs to a family here. He believes there's something eternal going on here, and he wants to support what's being done. Because the prophet says eternal life is a continuation of this life in another place. He says in another world. So what's begun here just continues on over there, friends. We can't wait until we get there to start fulfilling all righteousness. Amen. We've got to fulfill all righteousness here. Amen. We've got to fulfill our purpose here first. Amen. Then we can step into the perfection of what we've already fulfilled down here. But the earthly image has got to start to correspond with the heavenly image. It's not going to do it immediately. But he's going to minister you and me to that place until our earthly image here starts to line up with the heavenly image there. And then you'll start to feel in your soul, that sense of purpose. You start to feel the deep inside of you. Is it not true? There's certain things that you'll do as a believer. And when you start doing them, there's a deep rises up inside of you. You start to realize this is something bigger than myself. He becomes more real. The vision becomes more real. The purpose starts to become more real. That's when you're starting to line up with your theophany now. With what God ordained you to be. That's when you're starting to hear from that heavenly realm. And that heavenly realm is now ministering you into the spirit of the composer. You're now moving into your position in the great orchestra in this age. Because everybody's got a part to play. Everybody's got something that God is calling you to fulfill. There's no baggage in this journey as an exodus. There's nobody that should just be there just to be carried along. Every single person has a destiny that you need to fulfill. Amen. And you feel it inside of your soul. And the moment you start getting away from that purpose, you see it with believers. You feel it yourself. You start losing the vision. You start losing the purpose. The most miserable people in life are believers who aren't walking in their calling. Amen. I've never seen a harder group of people to deal with than believers when you're getting outside of your calling. Because you're frustrated. You don't understand the purpose. The prophet gave us example. What are you like? You like the little chicken in the little eagle in the chicken yard. And you're trying to scratch this, but your claws don't quite fit the pattern of what the rest of them have. You're trying to eat the things that are there, but it chokes you because it's not your kind of food. You don't belong in that kind of a condition. You shouldn't be doing those kind of things. You shouldn't be associating with those kind of beings. You call to a higher place than that. And that's why that little eagle, he could never be satisfied when he was doing that. He would try to get up in the morning and think, okay, the power of positive thinking. Let me confess positive again today. Friends, there's certain things you can't confess yourself positive out of. You're just in the wrong position. You're just in the wrong place. You need to ask him and say, Lord, speak to me. Raise me up to where I'm supposed to be. And that's when you'll start to find your eternal purpose. That's when you'll start to sense your eternal destiny inside of your soul. That's when this life becomes a real adventure, friends. It becomes something worth living. It's when you start to walk and move in that channel that is predestinated for you. And friends, I find it hard to understand how believers can go 10, 15 years and make no progress sometimes. Make no progress. If you're in a fellowship in some sense with the heavenly realm, if you're in fellowship with Melchizedek, this is something that is going to be progressively revealed to you. You've got to be able to sing Brother George's song. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. It's becoming more and more clear to me. The path is becoming more and more clear. I'm understanding what he wants me to be. I'm understanding what he's called me to become. Surely it's got to come clearer and clearer. Like Paul said, he says, when we were children, we thought as children. We spoke as children. But now we get into maturity, you start putting away childish ways. You start realizing what you're really here for. And you start now putting all your resources and channeling them in the calling that you're called unto. And that's when you become a blessing to him and you become a blessing to the body. You become a blessing to the family here on earth. And God looks down and he says, it's good. And you keep going like that and he's going to have a time that he's going to say, this is my beloved son. In whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And then like when Jesus was taken to Mount Transfiguration and that glory, that theophany shone straight through his mortality. The prophet says he was clothed in immortality there. That was a powerful experience that he had. Because two things were perfectly lined up. What God had in his mind and what he was fulfilling on earth. They came perfectly together. And that's a place of authority, friends. That's a place of power. That's a place of glory. That's a place that you'll never lack an anointing. You'll never lack a purpose. You'll never get up in the morning and say, but you know, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, why am I here? And these kind of things. And the problem with us is when we get out of harmony, like we always say, like with Jonah, when he was called to go here and he decided to go there, it didn't only affect Jonah. It affected everybody else that was in the boat as well. Everybody started to feel the effects of this one man that was running away from the presence of God. Amen. This one man that was refusing to line up with the image of the heavenly. What he was supposed to do. He was supposed to go and minister to Nineveh. He gets in a boat to go to Tarshish. A big storm comes on the sea. You can understand if it was just Jonah that was troubled by the storm. But the men in the boat, they're taking all the cargo, all the goods and throwing it over the side. People are being financially done down because of one man is not in his position. But watch when the man got in his position. When the great fish vomited him out on the beach and he went up to Nineveh and he lined up with the image of the heavenly. Look what happened. It brought such a revival, the prophet says, that entire city repented right from the throne, right to the people who looked after the stables, and they even put sackcloth on their beasts. That was a powerful manifestation of the glory of God. And what did the man have to do different? He just had to get himself in the right place. He just had to get himself in the right position. And friends, is that not the purpose of us being here? Is that not the purpose? It's for you to find your position in Christ. For you to find, but Lord, what did you call me for? What did you make me to become? Surely that should be the greatest heart's desire of any believer. There should be nothing more important to you and I than to fulfill that purpose, that heavenly calling that we call to. It's more important than earthly relations. It's more important than silver and gold. It's more important than fame and fortune. All of those things will pass away. But to a believer who starts to move in this channel, the channel that you were predestinated to live in. Friends, that's somebody who's going to achieve something in this life. That's somebody that God's going to look down and you're going to have the kiss and blessing of heaven upon your soul and the kiss and blessing of heaven upon your labors. But it's a process to bring us to that kind of a place. It's not that easy. You think of the prophet, you know, what he was ordained to be. But for the prophet to come to that place, when he went up into the cloud in 1963, when the cloud came down and the prophet stepped into that dimension and he was given the king's sword, there was so much that he went through in his life before that, which was to prepare him and to bring him into that place. Because we don't naturally walk in that place. You're not just born and then born again and you straight away walk in your heavenly calling and your position. It's going to take a process. It's going to take training. It's going to take the great tutor. It's going to take the work of the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the work of the inspired word, the power of revelation, the power of transformation to bring you from whatever image you are now into the perfection of the image that He has for you. But there's a process that you've got to go through. And you think of how it happened with the prophet. Listen how he says it when he speaks of this in his life story. Imagine, he's called, he's commissioned. God has predestinated this man to great things. He's already told him, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, you go forth. And he's sent forth. He's already seen the great vision of the great harvest that's coming. Remember the two trees, the oneness and the Trinitarian, and he planted in the middle and the fruit came down upon him. He's already seen the potential of what God is calling him to be. But he needs to learn. So he's just taken a journey the one day. And it's amazing how your destiny, friends, is tied up in the simplicity of life. Sometimes just in the normal events of life. Then the prophet in 1932, maybe he's tired, he's been preaching, doing different things, says to his wife, I'd like to go fishing a little bit. And she says, you go fishing, I look after the baby. And he takes his coins that he saved and he puts together enough and he goes down to the certain place, visits a certain brother, John Ryan, and then he goes fishing, has a good time. He's coming back from fishing, just decides to drive through the town of Mishawaka. And when he gets into Mishawaka, he starts seeing all of these cars, lots of cars parked by the side of the road. It's a great gathering of people. And he wonders, what can this be? And he sees on the back of the cars, Jesus only. Jesus is coming soon. And he says, this is a religious meeting. And something starts to move inside of him. Just the same as when it was your time and mine, and we are brought to the message, something started to move inside of us. Why? Because we're part of a heavenly family, and it's about time that we found out about it. It's God's appointed season for us to realize who we really are and who we're really supposed to associate with. So the prophet, he stops his car, he just pulls in the side, says, hey, let me go and see what this gathering is. And he comes into this building and there's 2,000-3,000 people there and there's this preaching going on and it's the Pentecostal people. And he's never seen the Pentecostal people before. And here there's people jumping and running, kicking over the tables and all that. And the first thing the prophet thinks is, they don't have very good church manners at all. Coming from a Baptist background, that's the first thing he notices. But sometimes you've got to go beyond the veil, friends. Amen. You don't just get offended by the natural things. Just have some grace. And the prophet says, no, but there's something real about these people. He could sense it inside of his soul. Something was speaking to him, saying, stay there, just sit down. This is an important time of your life. This is an important junction, though you may not realize it now. And the prophet sits down there and different people are coming and preaching about the glory of Christ. And then he says, so I went at lunchtime and I thought, let me come back in the afternoon. I'll come back for the evening service. And he comes back now for the evening service. And this is when he speaks about a life story. 1952, he says, I stopped and I went in. And I come to find out it was a convention where there was a group of the Pentecostal people. Now, this is when the prophet was under his commission to do the work of an evangelist. He hadn't yet been called to Malachi 4 to go and fulfill that role. That was to come later. Now his commission was do the work of an evangelist. And if God has called a man to do the work of an evangelist, God has a people that he wants this man to work with so that he can evangelize. And God wanted the prophet to work with these Pentecostal people. This was the family that he was supposed to be working with at that time. So the prophet, coming from a totally different background, a different understanding, He comes into the midst now of this family that's gathered there. It's a strange family to him at first, just as much as with us. Amen. When you first get in the message, it's a strange family to you. When people first come to this church, it's a strange family to them. You can look sometimes and say, I don't like the way that they do this, I don't like the way they do that. That's exactly the way the prophet was looking at it when he first came to the family that he was ordained to walk with under that commission. And the prophet sits down there, and then there comes this old brother. And he's just got a room of gray hair. And he walks up and he's so old, he's geriatric. And the prophet says, but what are they doing putting that old man up there to preach? Surely they should have taken one of these young men to preach. And that old man gets up there, gets behind the pulpit, takes his text. The prophet says he was preaching about the horizontal rainbow. I've never found the horizontal rainbow yet in my Bible. I've always been looking. But he was preaching about the horizontal rainbow. And he says, and as he started to preach, the Holy Ghost struck that man in the pulpit. And he was so old and he started jumping around and clicking his heels. And then he says, there's not enough place here for me on the pulpit for me to preach. And the old man goes down. And the prophet says, my. If I can get some of what he's got, I'll be fine. You see, there was something calling him from the supernatural place. Something in the prophet that was being drawn to those people. God wanted him to associate with those people at that time. And God is going to have to allow him to navigate through all these different things, his opinions and his thoughts. So he says, that night they said, I want all the ministers to come to the platform. He says there must have been 200 or 300 of them got up on the platform. White people, colored people. Now the prophet says he came from the south where there was segregation. He said, I still felt at that time that maybe I was a little bit better than my brother. You see, he had that influence still upon him, which all people get if you're from South Africa, those kind of things. If you're born in, when it was Rhodesia, and you were taught that kind of a teaching. You know, when God brings you to the heavenly family, you might not be used to colored people in the heavenly family. You might not be used to white people in the heavenly family. You know, it just depends on the first Adam that you were born from, where that Adam came from. That's got nothing to do with the heavenly family, though. You just give it sufficient opportunity, and you're going to feel at home in that family. When you find the place that you're predestined to, and you find the family that you're supposed to gather with, color means nothing to you. Language means nothing to you. Whether somebody comes and don't use deodorant and the other one comes and uses deodorant, it doesn't matter to you. Whether the person sits next to you and they smell a little bit, there's something inside of you that allows you to get into a certain gear that you'll move beyond those things. But friends, there's other people, the smallest little thing, they don't want to be part of the family anymore. I don't understand that. How can it be like that with us? It shouldn't be like that with us. You think of our great big brother in the family, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of all that his disciples did to him and let him down. Did he ever want to separate himself from the family? Or say, let me find some other brothers. These ones haven't treated me very well. Friends, that's all part of growing up in the family. That's all part of each person in the family finding their place and their position. You're going to make mistakes along the way. Sometimes you're not going to respect your brother the way that you should. You're not going to respect your sister the way that you should. But if God has ordained us to be together, you have the potential in you to move beyond such things. Because here we know not one another after the flesh. We can break beyond the veil here. And we can fellowship within the veil. And we can realize there's something here. I don't fully realize what it is yet, but there's something. And that's how the prophet was feeling here. So they call all the ministers up. So the prophet goes up there as well. Maybe he doesn't even know, why am I going up? It's not my church. This is Pentecostal people. I'm a Baptist minister. But just something says, go up. And he goes up and everybody's announcing who they are, introducing themselves. And he gets up there and he says, William Branham, evangelist, Baptist, Jeffersonville. And he goes and he sits down. And just to show how God works in those seasons of time, out of all those hundreds of ministers, that's the one that struck in the heart of the man who made the itinerary of the convention. Amen. And that man, maybe he doesn't understand it, but he can't forget that young man. The prophet says, I was the youngest of all of them. I was 23 years old. He says, I later found out I was the youngest one of all those ministers. And when there's all these Pentecostals, here comes a Baptist. And for some reason, there was a deep inside of those people that sensed a deep inside of the prophet. Why? Because they were ordained to be together at that time. Amen. Though their backgrounds were different, maybe some of their customs and their habits were different. But this was a heavenly family that had gathered. And something was moving beyond the veil. And Brother Branham could feel it, and the people there could feel it as well. Amen. And this man just thought, I don't know why, but I just feel I'm going to ask that young man, what is his name again? Can you remember his name? I think his first name was William. Yeah, something Branham, yeah. Let's put it down. The prophet gets there the next morning. There's a note on the pulpit. We'd like to ask today if that young evangelist, William Branham, can come and take the morning service. They never even came and asked him to prepare. They just came and announced him. There's Brother Branham. He's dressed in his t-shirt and his seersucker trousers there. He's used to preaching, he says, with a white collar as a Baptist, with his starchy robes and his pulpit clothing. And now he's sitting there with a white t-shirt on. And he's wearing like golfing trousers just about. You know, those kind of trousers. Checkered trousers. And then the voice says, please, is there William Branham here? And he's sitting at the back saying, I can't go and preach like this. You see how many objections we all is going to have. When God is trying to bring us to our calling. When God's trying to bring us to the place for us to line up with what we're supposed to do. And the prophet says, I went down, hunkered down in my chair. But God knows what he's doing. And there was a certain colored brother sitting next to him. And the deep moved inside of that brother. And that brother looked at Brother Branham and something just moved inside of his heart. And he thought, I wonder if this is the man. And he asked him and he says, do you know him? And Brother Branham says, I couldn't lie. He says, yes, I know him. He says, well, go and get him then. He says, I can't go and get him. I'm the man. He says, go and preach. He says, how can I go and preach? Look at the way that I'm dressed. Says, these people don't care the way that you preached. It's the way that you dress. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Amen. That's the most important thing. And then the voice comes again. Has anybody seen William Branham? Anybody seen William Branham? He says, here he is. Here he is. And Brother Branham says, I got up from there. Now listen to how he says it. He says, the night before, he'd been praying the whole night under a cherry tree. Saying, Lord, there's something about these people. Give me favor with these people. That's a key there, friends. There's a key. If you get in the Spirit, you're going to find favor with your family. If I get in the Spirit, I'm going to find favor with the family. If somebody's always out of favor with his brothers and his sisters, friends, that's not the way that it's supposed to be. We need to spend a little bit more time under the cherry tree, I think, saying, Lord, give me favor with my brethren. Because it doesn't matter how gifted we are. Doesn't matter what God does for us. If we don't first win the confidence of the people, if we first don't find favor, if the prophet didn't find favor with those people, all of the gifts and the callings and the abilities he had weren't going to do those people any good. He first needed to win favor with the people. So he was praying to say, Lord, help me to win favor. And then he comes the next day and they announce that he's the one to preach. And he's trying to run away from his destiny. He says, and then I thought about it. He says, oh, I got up and my ears were red, you know. And I had my Bible under my arm. And I walked up to the platform kind of sheepish looking, you know. And scared to death. But there was something in the soul. There was something in the soul that was urging him on. Just keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. Don't look at these outward circumstances. Don't worry at the way that people are looking at you. You just keep pressing on. There was something from the supernatural. There was an excitement now in the heavenly realm. Because the man's moving to the next stage of his calling. The man's moving into a position which has been ordained, a heavenly position in an earthly family. Is it not supposed to be the same with you and I, friends? Can you look back in your life and see a progression? Can you see what you used to be and see God's progressive hand leading to where you are now? He may have had to chastise you, may have had to chastise me, may have taken us to the quarry for some time to chip off some of the pieces that don't fit correctly when He tries to put us in this great tabernacle of the Most High God. You can't quite fit with your brethren. You can't quite fit in your place because there's certain places that need to be chipped off. And he's the great master mason. And he takes you down in the quarry down there. And it's not nice down there, friends. When he starts chipping and shaping. And then finally he says, now the time's right. And then he takes that stone, and it says in the days of Solomon, there was neither the sound of the axe, neither the sound of the saw. They just put the pieces and they fitted perfectly in their position. But there was a lot of preparation that went on before they fitted into their position. And that's exactly what happens with you and I. And the prophet now, he had been shaped to fit exactly in this position with these people. And here he comes now. Everything outwardly seems to be against it. But there's something happening in the heavenly realm. There's something happening in his bosom. There's something happening in the bosoms of the people. And God has prepared those people for him. You'll see it by the results. This wasn't just something that happened by coincidence that day. This was a symphony unfolding itself. This was people moving into a certain junction of a symphony, where God was calling this man out of the Baptist church now and putting him in among the Pentecostal people. And that's where the things had to get born and go forth, and the angel reveal himself and so forth. It had to start from there. The prophet says, scared to death, I walked up and I thought, oh my, last night I was praying all night to give me favor. Now God's going to let me get up before them. If I don't get up before them, how am I going to find favor with them? So God was answering his prayers, but answering him in a way that he didn't expect. Doesn't God do that to us as well, friends? He answers in ways that we don't expect. But the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And nothing happens to a believer by chance. God is behind every move. But don't let the natural veil get in the way. Don't let the reasoning get in the way. Don't let the natural offenses of the things that you see get in the way. Break beyond that veil. Because there's glory beyond the veil, friends. That's where you find the Shekinah is beyond the veil. And now the prophet is breaking beyond all these veils now. And he gets up there and he says, not a thing on my mind. He didn't have a single thing to preach about. And there's 3,000 people there. Don't worry. You have a theophany. It's going to be ministered to you from the heavenly realm. Because beyond the curtain of time, this man was moving into the right position with his theophany. Friends, that's when God's going to provide all that you need. That's when he's going to provide. He says, I didn't know even how close to stand to that little old microphone. He had never preached with a microphone before. He says, hanging down there with a string. I didn't know how to stand. And all this great big tabernacle, you know. And I said, well, folks, I don't know very much about the way you preach and things. That's also the beginning of his ministry to the Pentecost. Well, folks. And people were looking, but there was still something moving inside of them. And maybe there came an atmosphere of expectation that day. And people could just feel something's going to take place here. We don't know what this means, but he's closer than he was before. These other ministers preach fine, but there's something different taking place here. And here he comes with his hillbilly English. He comes with his Kentucky grammar. Well, folks. And he says that. He says, I was just coming up the road and I didn't know. He's trying to explain why he's there. He says, and I happened to turn over there to Luke, to the rich man lifting up his eyes in hell. And something spoke to him from the supernatural realm. And something said, that's it. And that's what he was ordained to do. And he says, I took that as my text. He says, he saw Lazarus far off and he cried. So I took my text and then he cried. And I got to talking. I said, the rich man down there in hell, there was no church down there. Then he cried. I said, there was no children down there. And then he cried. I says, there were no songs down there. And then he cried. I said, there was no God down there. And then he cried. And I got started and the people started screaming. And I cried. Friend, something's taking place here. He never expected that morning. But heaven was expecting that morning. This was him lining up with the heavenly vision. This is exactly what God wanted him to do. He says, away it went. I like the way he expresses that. It wasn't something just himself. Away it went. It was something beyond himself. Away it went. And the first thing you know, everybody was on their feet. Then he cried. And the next thing I knew, I was out in the yard. Amen. Yes, well, I don't know what happened. And everybody was blessing God. Amen. And carrying on. And the congregation was screaming and shouting. Amen. Friends, that was a powerful time. Amen. That's when a man can sense, yay, this is something about my destiny here. This isn't just a natural occurrence, the way that this has taken place. There was a witness in the prophet. There was a witness in the body. This is the way that in heaven it was supposed to be. And these things had lined up. Like with the wise men when the stars lined up. Things had lined up in the life of the prophet. And how wonderful that it was. He says, and the first thing you know, up came a great fellow from Texas. A big 10-gallon hat on and cowboy boots. And he said, say, are you an evangelist? I said, yes, sir. He said, how about coming down to Texas and holding me a revival? The family recognizes itself. The family recognizes itself, friends. Though they may have another accent, though they may come from another part of the country, though they may preach in a way that you never expected them to preach, but there's a representation in heaven. And we are but the shadow of that representation. And what's taking place in the heavenly family, it starts unfolding itself in the earthly family. And we start to recognize one another. And the prophet says that's exactly what happened to Abraham that day. In Genesis 18, when Sarah was having a bad day. And Abraham went and sat in the door of the tent. He said, I want to get involved in a fuss today. Because I can feel in my soul, something's brewing. Something is pending. And he went and he sat down in the tent door and he started to meditate upon the goodness of God. And he started to thank the Lord, excuse me, for his goodness. And as he was sitting there, he saw three men come. And one of them was God in his theophany, made flesh. And the prophet says, God recognized. He says, because the family will always recognize one another. He had never seen the man before. He had never seen the representation of this man before. But there was something inside of Abraham that bore witness with the something that was inside of that man. And that's why Abraham ran to meet the man. And he constrained him, please come and let me wash your feet and you take a rest for a while. And then he goes and he tells Sarah, Sarah, you prepare the best food. This isn't just a normal day. This is the day of our visitation. But he recognized that day. And the prophet says that he recognized that part of the family. He says, the next thing a fellow walked up, had on some little golf pants like. And he said, hi, I'm from Florida. I've got so many saints down there in a church. I'd like you to hold meetings for me. Amen. And I said, are you a preacher? He said, yes, sir. Well, I thought, my seal sucker trousers and t-shirt ain't so much out of line after all around here. You start feeling at home after a while among the family. You start saying, well, hey, I thought I was an oddball. Nobody else has accepted me before. At work, nobody understands me. At college, nobody understands me. Then you find a people that understand you. Friends, it's wonderful to find that. People that will bear with you. People that will know that there's something beyond the veil. And you just start feeling at home with one another. He says, I said, well, that's all right. Then a woman stepped up from up around somewhere the northern part of Michigan. She was with the Indians. And she said, while you were preaching, the Lord told me you should come and help me up there with the Indians. There was a witness in her. She's never met this man before. But he's supposed to go to the Pentecostals. And I said, just a minute, let me get a piece of paper. And I went to writing down these names and these addresses. And my, I had a string of them that long to last me a year. My, was I happy. Amen. Friends, if only the story ended there. If only the story ended there. And the prophet could say, and then I went home to my wife and we packed our bags and went down to Texas first. And then we passed through Florida. And then we came up through Michigan and God started a great revival. And then the angel of the Lord came down and the gift started to manifest itself. And you know, the third pool went forth to pull the rainbow trout out from those people. But friends, that's not the way that it happened. Because the man got out of harmony with his theophany. His theophany was saying, yes! This is what you ordained unto. This is what you're supposed to do. And all the people that were gathered there, there was a witness in them. They were all saying, yes, this is what you're supposed to do. But unfortunately, he had a mother-in-law. And his mother-in-law didn't think it was the right thing for him to do. And the prophet went home now and he told his wife, and he says it. He says, out of there I went and I jumped in my old Ford, and down the road we went to Jeffersonville as hard as we could go. 60 miles an hour, 30 this way and 30 up and down that way. Just as hard as you could go. I jumped out of the car. And my wife, as old as she came, running up to meet me. And she said, what are you so happy about? She said, honey, you don't realize. I met the happiest people in the world. She says, where are they at? And then he starts to tell her, and she says, oh, those are the holy rollers. He says, I don't know who they are, but there's something wonderful about those people. They've got something which just corresponded with me. She says, fine, honey, I'll go with you. You just told my mom. And he goes up now to tell Sister Broy, meet his Hope's mother. Sorry, no, it wasn't Sister Broy, it was Hope's mother, Mrs. Brumback. And she says, you just sit down there on the chair. Get some sense in your head. You want to take my daughter out there amongst that trash? The off-scourings of the church? And he says, but Mrs. Brumback, they are wonderful people. He says, shh, you just keep quiet. You go back down to your church and you wait for your church to get well enough established to build your parsonage. And Brahma says, I didn't want to rock the boat. And I made the greatest mistake I've ever made. I listened to my mother-in-law. And he says, from there, everything started to go wrong. He says, I lost the anointing. He says, my church started to go down. He said, sickness struck the home. And we know the story. I'm not going to get into it. And how he lost his father, and he lost his brother, and he lost his wife, and he lost his child. And all the things in the 1937 flood, and all those different things that took place, it was years, friends. Because the man was out of tune with his heavenly representation. And friends, there's many a life, like the song says, like the old violin that's very out of tune. And I would say, friends, it's time to get back in tune. I said, no matter what the cost, no matter what you got to do, no matter who you got to separate from, no matter where you got to move from, no matter where you got to move to, there's no price great enough to get back in harmony with your theophany. Because the rapture depends on that. You've got to line up with your heavenly representation. You think of it in the beginning. I'll just go speak a little bit about Moses. And the prophet speaks of when God came down to Moses. It was an Exodus time. The prophet says, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Jesus was the great image of God. Amen. Yeah? He says, God isn't without a body. God's got a body and looked like a man. And Moses saw it, others saw it, and it looked like a man. So Moses, right from the beginning, he saw God as a man. And then he goes down, he is taken up into the glory cloud, and God reveals himself to Moses in that way. And what else does God reveal to Moses? He reveals to him the heavenly pattern of the tabernacle. And he says, Moses, just make sure that everything that you do down there matches this pattern up here. That's your purpose, Moses. To make sure that every little pin and every pole and every piece of the furniture, it must all match up perfectly with the heavenly pattern. Amen. That's when you'll fulfill your calling, Moses. And Moses came down from there and he started now to preach to the people the heavenly pattern. He's trying to tell them, friends, this isn't something that's just starting down here. What we're establishing down here has already been established up there. Amen. Our worship is just a shadow of the heavenly pattern. What we're establishing has already been established up there. We're just fulfilling the vision. We're just the shadow of the reality, the substance that's there. We just need to stay in this dimension that this cloud has brought down amongst us. That this theophany has brought down, this great Melchizedek, Jehovah, has brought down amongst us. Let's just stay in this dimension. Let's not worry about Egypt and the cucumbers of Egypt and those things. Let's stay in this dimension. Amen. Let's build this tabernacle according to the heavenly pattern. And then maybe Moses looks at himself and says, but Lord, hey, no matter how powerful someone's theophany is up there, surely I'm not ordained to do all this work myself. And he says, never. There's others in the family also. You call for Aholiab. I've endued him with a gift of wisdom. And I'll put my spirit with him. And he'll be able to enter that dimension as well. He'll be able to see the heavenly vision as well. And he will be able to, as a master craftsman, be able to bring forth those things from beyond the curtain of time. Those things which are the reality, the substance, that he'll be able to bring them forth now. And you know what you saw in heaven, Moses, these people are going to bring it forth, and you're going to see it in a practical way. And there's all of these people. So Moses comes down and he preaches to the people. And how does the tabernacle begin? He preaches that vision to them. And then every single one of those friends that were in fellowship with God, that desired to be a part of it. And the Lord said to him, go and say to the people, let them bring the materials of the tabernacle. And Moses comes and says, whosoever heart the Lord stirs up, please. There's many things we need. We need gold, we need silver, we need onyx stones, we need badger skins, we need shittim wood. And the people got in the vision. Amen. Friends, the people got in the vision. And each and every one of them realized, this Exodus move, I've got a part that I can play. I'm not just supposed to sit back and let the others do the building. Let the others contribute to these things. There's something I can contribute as well. And here came the women with their gold. And here came other people with their cloth, their scarlet. And here came, you know, men with this and men with that and the other. Until Moses had to call a special meeting one day and say, please say, don't bring any more. No, there's too many testimonies these days. There's too many items you're wanting to sing in the song worship. Is that not the way that it's supposed to be? How wonderful it would be when Moses had to stop the people and say, please, it's enough. It's wonderful. Keep the zeal, but it's enough for now. Let us use all of these ones first. If we need something more, we'll come back to you. And friends, that's how it started in that first Exodus. Because those people started to realize that what they were doing, it didn't start here. They were fulfilling a heavenly pattern. And that's what the prophet realized when he went beyond the curtain of time. He says, my, this is an eternal something. Here my people are. And the prophet came down to the tabernacle and says, when I was there, I saw you people there. I saw you there. We were a family up there. That's why we're able to be a family down here. The prophet realized that, friends. And I believe that anybody who has that representation, the potential is in you. But it's easy to take an offense, friends. It's easy to hold a grudge. It's easy to hold the things of the past. The Bible says sometimes we need to forget the things that are behind. Forget those things that are behind. And focus on the heavenly vision once again. What did Christ apprehend you for? Why did Christ come and separate you? He separated Israel from the world, from Egypt. What for? So they could come and establish on earth that which was already established in heaven. And that's what God calls each and every one of us to. He desires for us to fulfill this heavenly pattern. You know, I'll just finish with this story about Rebecca. If you think of it, friends, just how when God deals with us, it's just an amazing way when God has ordained people to be together. Because here was Eliezer. He's the messenger. Here's Brother Branham. Here's Abraham representing Melchizedek himself, God. And he's commissioning Melchizedek and says, Melchizedek, he says, Abraham, it's time for my son to get a bride. I'm going to commission you to go and find the bride. And he has Eliezer, and he's getting this great commission, and he asks, but how am I going to do it? He says, don't worry. He'll send his angel before you. He will go before you. And he has Eliezer, and he's saying, but my, this is a great commission. This is a supernatural something that I've been called to walk in. And he starts heading back towards Mesopotamia. And right across there in Mesopotamia, there's Rebecca. She's the one to fulfill the vision. She is the one to fulfill all that Abraham is saying to Eliezer. But she doesn't yet know that. She doesn't know it. She's just going about her business. But maybe even, I'm sure it was like with you and me, she never quite felt at home there in Laban's house. Maybe she could never quite understand why things were done the way that they did. She couldn't quite understand, why do they worship these statues? I've never been able to worship these statues. These people can give themselves so over to this. It's not inside of me to do that. There's got to be something genuine somewhere. Surely it's not these statues that made the heavens and the earth. Maybe she was that kind of a girl. And people would always say to her, but you think too much. Just do what we do. Why are you always questioning these things? Maybe you were like that in the world. I was that kind of a person. You always wanted to understand and to know. And then here comes Eliezer now, and he comes to Ur. And it's the evening time. And Brahma says, the angel of the Lord got to her first. And the Lord ministered her into a heavenly dimension. And she started to feel inside of herself, there's something different today. There's something different. There's something taking place. I don't know what it is, but I've never felt like this before. Why? Because she was right on the verge of her destiny. And then something moves her down to the waters of life, to the well of water at evening time. And Eliezer, he starts to pray and he says, Lord, let there be a virgin. And let that virgin come forth and offer to give me water. And the one that gives me water and also offers to give my camels water, let her be the one. And Rebecca's just coming in a normal business. She doesn't realize something supernatural is taking place. But she can feel it in the heavenly realm. Inside of her soul, she's got a charge inside of there that she's never had before. There's something speaking to her from the heavenly dimension. There's something ministering to her. And she gets to that place and she meets this kind old man. And he says, please, can I have something to drink? And she gives him water and says, can I also give some water to your camels? It was natural for her to fulfill the vision. She never had to force anything. It was natural for her. In the heavenly vision, she's the one who had to come. She's the one who had to give him water. She's the one who had to water the camels. And just at the right time, the right person comes. And Eliezer is already in the spirit. He's already been able to see beyond the veil. And that's why the man gets in the spirit and says, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. And she maybe is wondering, why is this man getting religious like this by the well? She doesn't quite understand. That's because he's already caught the vision. And she's now starting to enter the vision. So she runs home and up comes Eliezer to the house. And then Eliezer starts to unfold the whole story now. And he has Rebecca sitting there and she's listening. And he says, you know, my master, he's old, but he's very rich. And my Lord has blessed my Lord with great riches. And he's given him, my master's wife, a son in his old age. And my master gave me a commission. And he sent his angel before me. And Rebecca, there's something must have jumped inside of her. Say, an angel. This man spoke to an angel. An angel commissioned this man. He sent his angel before me and I came up to the well and he led me to this place. And I started to pray and I said, Lord, let there come forth a virgin. And Rebecca started looking and said, I'm the virgin. I'm the one that the man was praying about. He says, and let him give water to me. But I gave water to him. And let him give water to my camels. And then she's starting to see, but I am the answer to this man's prayer. I'm the fulfillment of this vision. That's why when the question came and said, will you go with this man? I'm going to go. I'm going to go. This is my destiny. But it means you're going to have to travel months on a camel. You're going to a people that you don't know. You're going to a strange land that you've never been to. It doesn't matter to me. There's just something declaring itself to me from the heavenly place that this is my destiny. This is what I'm supposed to do. And that's why the prophet in closing, he said, if you meet somebody and you try to tell them about the serpent seed and you try to tell them about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth, and they argue against it, he said, forget about it. He says, they have no representation. They have no representation. There's nothing in them to respond because there's nothing beyond the curtain of time to represent them. But you come to a genuine believer like Jesus with a woman at the well, you would never think something can take place there. But the moment you bring those two people together, the supernatural realm comes down. And you've experienced that with people, and I've many times. You just start speaking to somebody, and that atmosphere comes straight down. And you sense that there's something taking place here bigger than I understand, bigger than I recognize. It's God calling His family. It's God calling His family, gathering His family together. And that's why I believe and I know that there's nothing that can happen in the family that cannot be reconciled. There's nothing. There's nothing. It's impossible. Because there we're all in harmony. How can we not be in harmony here? It just means at least one of the people's not getting in the spirit. One of the people staying in the flesh. One of the people's not breaking through the veil. Breaking into that Shekinah realm once again and saying, I want to be one with my family. I want to be one with my brother. I want to be one with my sister. Because that's the pattern of the heavenlies. And how did it finish with Moses? Exodus 40. It says Moses finished the work. And it says, and Moses did everything the way the Lord commanded. And then what happened? Then the glory came down. Then the glory filled the house. And then Moses and the priests couldn't minister. Because God was saying, amen. This is exactly in line with the heavenly pattern. And if you want the glory in your life, and I want the glory in my life, and we want the glory in our midst, that's the secret, friends. To break beyond that veil. To be governed from that dimension. To be governed from that supernatural place. To establish things according to the order of the heavenly family. Let the earthly family start moving into their correct orbit like that. And see the way the Lord will bless. And see the glory that will come down. Because you find Abraham, he comes to Melchizedek. What does the Bible say? Abraham's just come, he's delivered his brother Lot who sinned against him. He's broken through the veil, Abraham. He's moved into the dimension that is ordained. He's the one who's been given possession of all that land, including Lot. That was his inheritance. So he goes there, he smites with his 318 young men. He comes back having fulfilled the heavenly pattern of what he's supposed to do. Here comes Melchizedek. And the Bible says that Melchizedek blessed him there. That's when the blessing comes forth, friends. When you break beyond. He could have held an offense. He could have held things against Lot. He could have said, that young man, he deserves everything that he's getting. But he didn't. He broke into the realm of the heavenly. He broke into the supernatural. And that ministered something to him into a position and a place that he went and he did exactly what God had ordained him to do. And that's when the blessing came forth. And that's when there came the bread. And that's when there came the wine. So friends, I really do believe that God is establishing, He's calling His family. The shout has gone forth. It's an Exodus time. He's come down in His great theophany in this age with the open book. The seven thunders have gone forth. There's the shout that's gone forth. And what's it to do? It's to gather the rainbow trout. It's to gather the family. But we're not just supposed to gather together. He's gathered us for a purpose. Every single one of us is called to fulfill our destiny. There's a certain position, a calling, a place in the body that you are called to fulfill. And you will never be fully blessed. And you will never be satisfied inside of your soul until you start moving in that position. And that will answer a lot of questions to a lot of people. And friends, I believe if Brother Wilmore's in his position and Brother Tony's in his position, it's automatic they're going to be in harmony with one another. It's automatic. If I'm walking in my calling and you are too, we're automatically going to be walking one with another. When I'm in harmony with Him and you're in harmony with Him, we're going to come into harmony with one another. And I'd say that should be the great desire, the great burden of the hearts of the sons and daughters of God, is let it be done according to the heavenly pattern. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing before we come to a close. Let's not forget the youth meeting next Saturday at 1 o'clock, saints. And let's pray for that. May the Lord bless that meeting.
Take me past the
hour. Oh, to court, to the holy place.
Past the praising altar.
Lord, I want to see your face. pass me by the crowds of people. Prince, Prince, who sing your praise. Hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in your presence. Take me to the Holy of Holies. Oh, take me in the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Take the coal,
cleanse my lips. Here I am. Pass the outer courts into the holy place. Pass the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people. Bring the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. And it's only found in your presence. Oh, take me to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me to the Holy of Holies. Take the cold. Cleanse my lips, here I am.
Take a coal,
cleanse my lips, here I am.
Take
the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you, O King. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship. I worship you.
Oh, I worship you, Lord.
Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy.
For your name is holy.
Holy.
For your name.
Yeah.
let the weight of your glory. I enter the Holy of Holies.
Oh, to me by theophany,
I enter through the blood.
Oh, the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor. Oh, Elohim, Lord,
sing one more, but while we sing, just be thinking about your calling. Just really ask yourself that question yourself, to say, but what am I on this earth for? Now, what am I doing here? It's a serious question. Ask yourself, but why did Christ call me? Am I fulfilling my calling? Am I making progress? Or am I making a mistake like the prophet, that I'm out of tune with my theophany? That I've got out of that heavenly place and I'm just not making progress anymore. Why not seek him today? As you worship, say, Lord, just bring me back into harmony with you. Because I know, Lord, all of my other problems will take care of themselves when I come back into harmony with you. Because that's the key, friends, just to be in harmony with him. And I'll say it to you honestly, no matter what he tells you to do, do it. It may be costly, friends. It might be like Abraham. He might tell you, leave all your family. Go to a place that I will show you. And friends, sometimes we're holding back the blessing because we don't want to pay the price. And just ask yourself in your life to say, Lord, what is hindering me from harmony with you? What is hindering you from harmony in my calling? Lord, reveal it to me. Show it to me. Show me the next step, Lord. Show me the next step that I should take. What you expect of me now, Lord. And when he comes down, because he will, friends, he'll reveal it and he'll make it so clear and he'll confirm it to you. Because God in heaven desires you to fulfill your destiny. Heaven's expectation is upon you and I to finish this course, friends. And that's why if we come before him and we humble before him, he'll withhold no good thing from us, friends. But when he comes down and deals faithfully with you, why not just humble yourself and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Be glorified, Father. Father, glorify thy name. And I believe that will be a change. And there'll be a from that time. And you look back and say, but Lord, from that time. Ever since I made that decision, something started to change. And Lord, the destiny has become clearer. The purpose has been unfolding itself. Lord, my fellowship with you has never been deeper. My relationship with your family has never been better. But all hinges on those decisions, like Rebecca. Will you go?
Amen.
And she just listened to the heavenly calling and said, I'll go. And she was willing to pay the price. And friends, that's where all the difference is made, is when you're willing to follow him like that. We are the seed of Abraham. And he's put the potential in us to follow like Abraham. Let's sing another song as we, just in our hearts, just be asking, Lord, say, Lord, speak to me. Help me, Lord. Show me the next step. Show me your way. Let's sing that song.
Show me the way. the way.
Without you, Lord, how can I go?
Show me the way.
Said I am
downhill, Lord, and I need.
Time of prayer. Let's sing that song. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. You might say to yourself, but I've just got so off course that I don't think there's much hope that I'll ever get back. Think of Moses. 40 years. 40 years running from his calling, running away to another country to get away from his calling, going and finding another occupation, looking after Jethro's sheep. But God never forgot. Because there was a representation in the heavenlies, friends. God doesn't change his mind about his word. God wasn't looking for another prophet. And God knows your position. He knows your calling. And it's waiting for you and it's waiting for me. And no matter how far off course we've got, you just need to speak to the burning bush once again. Amen. And just hear the voice speak back to you and he'll quicken you. He'll revive you. He'll refresh you once again. And he'll bring you back and he'll point you and say, go down to Egypt. Back to your calling once again. Look, think of the prophet. And think of all those years. You might say they were wasted years. They weren't. He learned valuable lessons there, friends. When he got out of his calling. God is not an Indian giver. Amen. He doesn't call you and then forget you. Your purpose is still there. Amen. The calling is still. You may have complicated your life. He can untangle the knots. He can put things back in the position that they're supposed to be. But just have to surrender yourself to him. So let's sing the song. Kumbaya, my Lord. And let's come to a time of prayer.
Kumbaya, someone singing, Lord, Kumbaya, someone singing, Lord, Kumbaya, oh Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya.
Someone's praying, Lord. Kumbaya.
Someone's praying, Lord.
Someone's praying, Lord. Kumbaya. Someone's praying,
Lord.
Kumbaya.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Yourself before the Lord before we dismiss. The Bible says, commit your ways unto the Lord. That's the most important thing, a committal. Give yourself to Him. Father, we come unto Thee upon this day. Father, I just wanted to lay ourselves upon the altar, Lord, at this time because we are needy people. Father, we need Thee even as the song has said, Father, how we need Your power. Father, here we are, Lord, we are children, Lord, how we need Your peace, how we need Your mercy, Lord. Father, I really want You to be here to be upon this day. I just want You to bring people before You at this time. And we took from You, Lord. Just ask Brother David to come close to us in a word of prayer, if you wouldn't mind, but let's sing one song before then. Just a reminder, youth meeting, 1 o'clock Saturday.
You have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven.
Is waiting for you because of what you decided. That was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce
great victory. in His love divine.
I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim. Trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. There is not much time remaining to walk in this path. We can already hear the chariot,
we can hear the chariot
of our beloved one coming to meet us. I will walk this path, oh, in the footsteps of Elohim. I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
I will walk this path.
I will walk this path, oh, in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, the desire that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we do come before you. Father God, indeed, even as we sang the song, Lord, that, Father, it's a narrow path.
Yes, Lord.
But, Lord, it's your path, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, even, Father, at this time, as we're under the anointing, Lord, of your word, your precious word,
hallelujah.
Father, our heart's desire is not to walk any other way.
Amen, Lord.
Lord, we want to go through that narrow path, O Father.
Amen.
Lord, because it's your way, Father. Lord, and it's different to the ways of Satan, O God.
Amen.
Father, how, Lord, we feel the blessing, Lord, of your loving kindness upon us at this time.
Lord, yes, Lord.
Father God, when we look, Father God, through the mirror of your word, O Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And see, Father God, from where you brought us, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even from before the foundation of the earth, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we were upon your heart, we were on your mind, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, and you prepared us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Father, what a blessing, what a privilege, oh God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, even yesterday, today, Lord, the testimonies which we gave.
Yes, Lord.
They bear testimony, Lord, yes, that Lord. We are your children, oh Lord.
Amen.
Father, yes, from Lord. Even in our youth, Lord,
Amen.
When we knew you not, Lord, in the way we do now.
Yes.
But your hand was upon us, oh God.
Amen.
Father, how you guided and shielded us, Lord. How you protected us when the enemy tried to destroy us.
Amen, Lord.
Father, to bring us even unto this place, even unto this day.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Lord, even as we sing the song, Father God, that they come from the east and the west.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, brought us even into this fellowship, O Lord.
Amen.
Each one of us calling us out by name.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Father, Lord. What a blessed assurance
Thank
we have,
Lord.
O Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, and our heart's desire upon this day is that, Lord, even as your word has called out unto us, Lord, that we'd
Amen.
Search, Lord.
Amen.
We'd see, Father, that we hear, Father God, more than just for the things of this life.
Yes, Lord.
To raise families and work, Lord.
Amen, Lord.
Those things may be good, but, oh Lord, they fade away into insignificance, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, for the whole purpose of man is to serve and to worship you.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, how we ask you now, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Father, we know that when you bring a word, Lord,
amen.
Father, it will always achieve that which it has sent out
yes,
to
Lord.
Achieve, Lord. Let it be so in our souls, Lord, according to thine word.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that each man, amen. Each woman, each child, Lord, Father, would search their souls, Lord, to see,
yes.
Lord, what it is you've called us unto, O
amen.
God.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, and then, Lord, to yield ourselves, Lord, to the guidance and leadership which you would
yes,
give unto
yes,
us, Lord.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, for even, Lord, we refer once again to song, that amen. What would you give in exchange for your soul?
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes,
God, could work, Lord, hinder us from achieving that which you purposed
yes,
for us.
Lord, yes,
Lord, could it be relationships?
Wow.
Nay, O God.
Amen.
Our desire is to walk that narrow way, Lord, in the
yes,
same way which
Lord,
our prophet yes. did, O God.
Hallelujah.
Father, and you called us, Lord, under this ministry, O
oh,
God,
Lord, yes.
under this dispensation.
Amen.
So, Lord, there's sufficient enough to see us through to the end.
Hallelujah.
For,
yes,
Lord, you have said it, Lord, even in your word, O
amen.
Lord, that he who began the good work is faithful to see through to
yes,
the end.
Lord.
So, Lord, we
amen.
Just yield ourselves unto thee.
Amen.
Father God, each one in his own way.
Amen.
And, Lord, we pray and trust and have full confidence
yes,
that
Lord.
If we walk your way, O Lord, Father God, at the end of it, there's a blessing.
Amen.
So, Lord, we just look unto thee
yes,
even
Lord.
At this time.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we thank you once again.
Hallelujah.
Lord, for what you've done for us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, from where you brought us from till today.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you so much for the blessing of your word.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for the weekend you've given us, Lord. The
yes,
fellowship
Lord.
Which we
yes,
had
Lord.
Yesterday, Lord.
Amen.
Even upon this day, Lord, your blessing of the word, Father.
Hallelujah.
Lord, and we know that, Lord, you're not a God of yesterday only.
Yes.
A God of now, but your God of the future.
Amen.
So, Lord, we trust, Lord, in the days or the months, whichever you'd allow us to see,
yes, Lord.
That, Lord, you'd continue to bless us, Lord. You'd continue to guide and to lead us.
Amen.
To lead on to higher things, O Lord. Even
amen.
As we know that, Lord, the rapture is a progression, O God.
Amen.
So we want to walk, Lord, from
yes.
faith unto faith, Lord.
Amen.
Walking higher and higher until one day, Lord,
yes.
we will be no more.
Yes, Lord.
Father, grant these things, Lord,
please,
that we ask
Lord,
of thee.
Pray.
For we know it's your desire for us, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father God, we want to pray and ask, Lord, that you'd be with us in the remainder of this day.
Please, Lord.
Father, how we'd love, Lord, to just remain here in these heavenly places.
Yes, Lord.
But, O God, as of yet, Lord, we're still bound by time,
yes.
Lord, and space.
Amen.
Father, so we ask that you'd be merciful to us, Lord, when we depart
Lord.
From your house.
Hallelujah.
But, Lord, where we'd go, O God.
Amen.
Father, put it as a burden upon our hearts.
Yes.
To guard what you've given us, Lord,
yes,
cautiously, Lord.
Lord.
Not
amen.
To allow the foolish and vain things of this life to, Lord, to rob that which you sowed within us over this
yes,
time.
Lord. Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Grant us that grace that in our homes, Lord,
yes, Lord.
May we speak of thee.
Amen.
Lord, wherever we'd meet, Lord, to have fellowship, may we speak of thee. Because
yes,
you said where two are gathered in your name, there you'd be.
Yes,
Lord, please be merciful to us, Father.
Yes,
give us traveling mercies, Father. Lord, watch over us in whatsoever we'll do and say.
Amen.
Even as we enter another week, Lord, where we'll go and go to our different places of work.
Yes.
Father, be with us there, Lord. Father God, and may we be a testimony, Lord. May we
please, Lord.
Just have that something special. That
please,
if there's
Lord.
Any of your children that are there in our workplaces,
hallelujah.
Lord, or in our areas of influence.
Amen.
Father, that they'd recognize a deep in us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we'd ever see
yes,
a deep
Lord.
In them.
Yes,
Father God, that, Lord, we may bring them even into the storehouse, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Grant these things, Lord. We ask these things of thee because on our own we can do nothing.
Amen, Lord.
But, Lord, we look to you for everything.
Yes,
even
Lord.
As you said in your word, Lord, that we should commit our ways to you.
Yes.
And you will direct our paths.
Amen.
Direct our paths in this week, O God.
Amen.
Father, Lord, we ask thee, Lord, once again as well. Lord, we thank you so much for the minister, Lord. Our
yes,
pastor who has yielded himself, dear Lord Jehovah.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, to set himself aside, Lord, to allow for you to use him, O God, to bless us, O Lord. Restore strength unto him, Lord. Continue to reveal your word unto him, Father God. Lord, renew his strength even in this
amen.
Week. Lord, even our brother Maxwell, Lord, who
amen.
Has stood faithful, Lord.
Yes.
Even with the Sunday school, Lord Jehovah.
Amen.
We thank you for their blessing, O God.
Amen.
Lord, and we trust that, Lord, you've already healed him, Lord Jehovah.
Amen.
Father, and continue Hallelujah. To bless and to guide and lead him, Lord. Please, bless Lord. His family, O Father. Amen. Lord, be with us now as we go our separate ways, Father. We pray, trusting and believing, asking all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. Saints, let's dismiss with this song. Coming from the east, coming from the what west? All the rainbow trout are gathered by the shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh day. Coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south, all the rainbow trout gathered by the shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak. We have seen the Lord in the fulfillment of his word. He promised through the prophet to return, to ride this trail again, to reveal his name, to teach his bride to prophesy again. Coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south, all the rainbow trout gathered by the shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak. We on Mount Zion, in the secret place, by the sovereign grace of our Lord. A saying on the hill, whose glory cannot be hid, we'll manifest the great and final good. Coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south, all the rainbow trout gathered by the shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak. The rainbow covenanted one in the Joshua Commission testified she's turned up the way. Authority for her ministry, and she shall speak from the summit of the seventh peak. Coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south, all the rainbow trout gathered by the shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak. We sing a brand new song. We are the blood-washed throne. We've seen our names beneath the seventh seal. He's opened up to us all the mysteries, and there is light on the summit of the seventh peak. Coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south, all the rainbow trout gathered by the shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak. All things are ready now. Father, let the fire fall. Father, glorify thy name. Did it once before in the life of Malachi 4. Now, Father, glorify thy name again. Coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the